It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. This year, Wisconsin Public Radio is going beyond the ballot, asking people around the state what issues are important to them this election season. And every Tuesday in the run-up to the election, we're exploring the issues brought up in this series. WPR's Bridget Bowden is the project manager of Beyond the Ballot, and she recently sat down with members of a community we don't hear from very often.
I think it's fair to say the deaf community is not well represented on the radio, including here on WPR. As a part of the Beyond the Ballot project, we wanted to change that. I sat down with deaf community members Dory Richards, Brian Fruits, and an interpreter. I wanted to find out what they care about the most. We turned quickly to the issues that affect the deaf community directly. Dory Richards from Madison did vote in the 2016 elections, but she says she's not sure if she'll vote this year.
It just seems like the election system failed a lot of people. Politics has kind of become about name recognition and attention getting. Lots of promises and lots of talk, but no action behind it.
Still, she's very tuned into political issues, especially access to mental health care. It's something she has personal experience with.
I went through some therapy with a hearing therapist with an interpreter, and it took a lot longer than when a typical person would go through therapy. A high percent of our people in the community are misdiagnosed because the person doing the diagnosis doesn't understand American Sign Language, they're not fluent in our language, or the facial expression or grammar, and it can be easily misunderstood as aggression or something else.
She wants more deaf people to become mental health professionals, but she says there aren't enough resources for licensing. That's where the government comes in.
Often we have people going through the educational system, but when it comes to getting their licensing hours, the red tape is almost impossible to overcome. No one wants to pay for sign language interpreters, for someone to get their hours. There's so many layers of bureaucracy and barriers for deaf professionals to get licensed here in the community.
Brian Fruits is also a deaf community member from the Madison area and the treasurer of the Wisconsin Association of the Deaf. Speaking through an interpreter, he says he'd like to see politicians work with the deaf community to address its needs.
We are a small minority group. About 500,000 is the rough estimate statewide. So we are small. We don't have a lot of money to make big donations or host political party activism groups, but we're human and we have rights. We can contribute to society. We can work. We can earn a salary and pay taxes. And we can be productive members of the community and society as a whole.
Brian says the availability and quality of sign language interpreters needs to be addressed by politicians.
Some interpreters are working without certification and licensure in the state and puts deaf people in very dangerous situations. We're talking about going to the hospital or having critical surgery or going into the court system. There's a lot of different things that if an interpreter misinterprets, our lives could be destroyed. It has a very negative effect.
Last year, there was a bill in the state legislature that would have replaced the current licensure system for sign language interpreters, creating a tiered system of intermediate and advanced interpreters. It passed the assembly but did not get a vote in the Senate. Dory says that despite communication barriers, there are ways for hearing people, including elected officials, to better serve the deaf community.
When you see a deaf person, don't be afraid to say hi. Don't be afraid to come up to us. Don't be afraid to ask us about what we're feeling. It's going to be awkward. That's okay.
She says to use a paper and pencil or a cell phone to text, even a gesture or body language, whatever it takes to get the conversation started. Bridget Bowden, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Are you a voter with a disability? Is your polling place accessible? Do you get harassment from people when you're voting? Give us a call. We really want to hear from you today. 800-642-1234. Ideas@WPR.org is the way to email us. You can also tweet us. We do love tweets at WPR Morning. We're talking right now to Bridget Bowden, whom you just heard. She is the project manager for Beyond the Ballot, and we're also joined by Denise Jess. Denise is the CEO and executive director of the Wisconsin Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired, which is based in Madison. Both of you, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
So, Bridget, what led you to this piece?
So one of our goals with the Beyond the Ballot project is to talk to and include on our airwaves voices that we don't hear very often. So we made a list at the beginning of the project of groups of people who we wanted to make sure to reach out to, and voters with disabilities was on that list.
This was the process of doing this. Talk to me about the process of going through it. Finding people to talk to.
Right. So the most challenging part of this process for this story was setting up the interview and booking an interpreter. So I had never needed to book the services of a sign language interpreter before, but we did that for this story. And that's who you heard just now, is the voice of the interpreter. And so it was really a learning experience for me to have to go through that process of securing a service that people in this community need every day.
Right. And the way that you interviewed, did that change? Did you have to ask questions differently?
It was very similar to a regular interview. The only difference was that my microphone was pointed at the interpreter instead of at Dorian Bryan, because I was recording the interpreter's
voice. So you'd
voice.
Look at one person and point your microphone at another
exactly,
person.
Exactly, because I was having a conversation with Bryan and Dory, so I looked at them and spoke to them. I was speaking to them.
Right. Denise, you heard this piece on the radio, and then you reached out to Bridget after hearing it. What was your reaction, and why did you reach out?
I was so thrilled. I've been following the series and really interested in it, and I was making my breakfast one morning on my way into work, and I heard that Bridget was interviewing two members of the deaf community, and I stopped what I was doing because I was just so enthralled with knowing that two members of the disability community had exclusive time to be heard statewide to talk about issues facing them as members of the deaf community. There's so little airtime that people with disabilities get to really tell our true, authentic stories. Mm. Often people are telling stories on our behalf, and we appreciate their advocacy, but we have voice and we have agency to tell that story. So it just really opened my heart even more to the series that Bridget is doing and prompted me to reach out to ask for an opportunity to tell the story about access for people with disabilities to the voting process.
So my other question is, what happened to your breakfast? Did you manage to finish it that day?
Well, I was making smoothies, and the blender was competing with Bridget, so the blender had to stop, and then breakfast continued afterwards.
We are talking about access to voting for people with disabilities. Give us a call, 800-642-1234. We would love to hear your stories. We are talking with Bridget Bowden and Denise Jess. Denise, talk to me about some of the challenges that voters with disabilities face in Wisconsin.
Voters with disabilities face a number of challenges. And of course, according to the differences in our disabilities, there are unique challenges. But there are three challenges that I think are universal across all disabilities. So the first one is transportation access. Mm. And we live in a state that has limited options for public transportation. Our public transportation services often don't cross municipal boundaries, and that is key to being able to obtain the proper identification in order to vote. So if someone lives in rural Wisconsin, their DMV is likely not in the same town that they're in. So to get to that DMV requires a Herculean effort in some cases to arrange transportation, whether that's through a family member, a friend, working with a mobility manager for that county, using a van service. And it may, depending on the disability status, also involve personal cost. And with DMVs running more limited hours in some communities, coordinating all of that transportation on a particular day, and then imagine that it snows. So, and you've put all of that effort in. So transportation is one significant barrier, even getting to the polls. You know, Madison is so fortunate in that our cab companies will provide rides to the polls, but that's not universal across the state. So getting to the poll, getting proper ID, transportation transportation. And then if you need specialized transportation, like a van that will be able to manage a wheelchair or other mobility devices, then that adds another layer on top.
We are talking about voting for people with disabilities. We're talking to Bridget Bowden and Denise Jess. We are going to dig into this a little more with Denise when we come back. It's The Morning Show. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Wisconsin and federal law mandates that people with disabilities be given every opportunity to vote. But what if you show up at a polling station to find there are no sign language interpreters? Our Beyond the Ballot series is looking at the barriers disabled people face in voting. Have you felt discouraged to vote based on a lack of accessibility? Did a lack of accessibility prevent you from even going to the polls to begin with? 800-642-1234 is the number that we would love you to call. You can also email ideas at WPR.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. We are sitting here with Denise Jess, who is the CEO and Executive Director of the Wisconsin Council for the Blind. And of course, we are sitting here, as we do every Tuesday, with Bridget Bowden, who is the Chief Content Officer for the Beyond the Ballot series. That's not actually her title. I just like giving her different titles. So, Bridget, this feature was the first one you've done for Beyond the Ballot that featured video that you actually did on our sister TV station. Talk to me about that.
Yes. So we partnered with Wisconsin Public Television to make a video for this story. And that was really important to us because Brian and Dory, their first language is sign language. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to make sure to be able to publish their thoughts and feelings on these issues in their own language, sign language. So you can see that video on our website, which is WPR.org/ballot. It's also on Wisconsin Public Television's website. So there are plenty of places you can find it. And I think it's really great to watch Brian and Dory say what they have to say about these issues.
Yeah, it is a really cool video, and we will have that link on our website also. I should note that Mark in Plover called. He said, now that we need to have photo ID to vote, as you were talking about earlier, Denise, we need to acknowledge the barrier this is for people who are bedridden and have mobility issues. We didn't even talk about that. We were talking about transportation, but for people who can't necessarily easily get the transportation, what do they do?
So absentee voting is a fundamental access issue. So being able to get your ballot mailed to you and being able to complete it and have it delivered before Election Day, and that's really critical because your ballot needs to be at your polling place on Election Day, is key to creating access for people who are homebound or people who really cannot or choose not to vote at the polling place. Sometimes for people who are blind or visually impaired, it's a fundamental privacy issue to fill out that ballot with someone who they really trust and who we know will mark it according to what our desires are. And sometimes that's a family member. Poll workers will do that with you if you show up at the polls, and if you choose not to use the accessible voting equipment or if it's not functioning properly. But that requires a great deal of trust to know that someone is marking your ballot appropriately.
Talk to me about what the accessible voting equipment does.
So it is basically a printer. So for those of us that use it, and there's a couple different models around the state, some of the older equipment is quite clunky, and we don't tend to like to use it because it doesn't function properly. And and poll workers often don't know how to set it up. So while it might be sitting there, it often goes unutilized. The city of Madison, as well as, I believe, Milwaukee and more polling places, are adopting something called Express Vote, and it's a desktop computer, basically, that will show the ballot in very large print if you need it that way, or also audio or a combination. I tend to use the audio. Then there is a joystick or a controller that I hold in my hands, and I can put headphones on, listen to my ballot, and then use a selector to choose my candidates, and then review my ballot before finally casting it to make sure that I've selected appropriately, hit a print button, and a printed ballot will come out that I then put in the tabulator. So the data is not being collected by the machine. It's simply providing an accessible interface for me and other folks who choose to use it so that my ballot can be cast in the tabulator along with everyone else's.
I have a question. When they were putting this together, did the state contact you and other people who may be using this about how you were going to be using it?
Yeah, it is. The State Elections Commission has Accessible Voting Task Force, and I sit on it along with representatives from a variety of disability groups, and they have done an outstanding job of reaching out to the disability community to find out about access and to get our feedback, and it really helped prompt moving away from the more antiquated voting equipment towards the Express Vote. Right now, the State Elections Commission is also looking at digitizing the poll book that we all sign when we come in to our polling places, and we have been running demos and tests with them through some of our public events to get feedback on how accessible is that electronic poll book.
And what are some of the other issues that people with sight disabilities have?
Let's see, a number of things. So signing the poll book. So first of all, completing the paperwork. It's wonderful that a lot of that is moved online. You can go to myvote.wi.gov and do some of the registration process there, because computer software for people with visual impairment can make those things much more accessible. Then once we arrive at the polling place and we need to do things like signing the poll book, which is new, that's a bit of a daunting task, because you've got a very full page of text and you have to sign your name in a particular little box. So I carry with me, and we have distributed to clerks in the area, a little plastic signature guide that basically is the size of a credit card, has a window cut out in it, can be placed in the appropriate place on the poll book, and then I can use that as a guide for signature. Mm. Now, there are times when I've come into my polling place, and because placing an X in the poll book is legal, the poll worker has tried to convince me that I can just put an X, and I see that as an infringement of my rights. I prefer to sign my name. I'm proud of my name. I'm proud of my heritage, and I don't want to put an X. So that would be one of those I would consider a mistreatment or bad manners on the poll worker's part to just tell me to put an X to keep the line moving and keep everybody moving along. I'd prefer to put my name. So that's a barrier. And then if the poll workers are not familiar with the accessible voting equipment, they may try to discourage folks from using it or feel incompetent about showing the voter how to use it. My poll workers are fantastic. I come in, they're a little nervous. I say, I know how to use it. They're like, will you teach us? I'm like, absolutely. And because we want to see even non-disabled voters using that equipment as well. It just helps speed the process up. And my chief poll worker just about does cartwheels of joy when he sees me come in, and now he's an advocate for using that equipment. So, and then a lot of times polling places are in old schools, they're in churches, they're in, you know, town halls, and so even
places that aren't necessarily accessible.
Totally. So while they're ADA compliant, they may not be accessible. So dark hallways, twisty, windy, an elevator that looks antiquated, like, do you really want to ride in that? It's been retrofitted, uneven flooring. One voter told me that she was in a place where she couldn't, it was so dark she couldn't see properly. And so I encouraged her to carry, a reading light with her when she goes to the polls so that she can see her ballot more easily.
We are talking about barriers that might be there that we are not aware of when people with disabilities go to the polls. And we are taking your calls and emails on this. 800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org. You can tweet us. We love tweets. We are encouraging more people to tweet WPR Mornings, at WPR Mornings. We're talking to Denise Jess and Bridget Bowden. Bridget, you've talked, a lot of things that Denise talked about are people at polling places not being well trained, being nervous. You know, there are a lot of long lines when we go to vote. And now here's somebody who's going to slow things down, and they just want to speed up the line. Have you talked to people who have identified things that can move this forward, that can change this?
So when I talked to Brian Fruits and Jory Richards, mixing up their last names there, I should say that my questions weren't necessarily specifically about being part of the deaf community. The questions that we're asking people are questions like, are you going to vote?
Right.
What's the most important issue to you? So, but because both of them are such passionate advocates for the deaf, hard of hearing, and deaf blind community, they went immediately to talking about issues that do affect those communities. So some things that they mentioned were access to mental health services is very important to them.
For voting?
Just in general.
Okay, good. Okay.
We actually didn't
In terms of what their issues were in the Beyond the Ballot series.
Right.
Got it.
So we didn't talk specifically about going to the polls.
Right.
We talked about more what drives them to go to the polls in the first place. So,
and there are a lack of mental health issues for people with disabilities.
Mental health services. So they talked specifically about the need for mental health professionals who are fluent in sign language so that you don't have to work with an interpreter. Your therapist speaks your language.
Interesting.
We also talked about interpreter services in general and how they both feel there's a need for more and higher quality interpreters, especially specialized interpreters in fields like medical and legal areas.
Denise, what is your take on this? Have you run into this kind of thing?
Yeah, I think... let's see. I could say a number of different things, so I'm kind of thinking about where I want to go.
That happens. Like, right, you have like 10 ideas. They all crash in your brain,
exactly.
And you can't say one of them. Yes.
Exactly. So bringing it back to the voter access, and thinking about mental health and thinking about access for people who are hard of hearing and hearing impaired, that's a challenging environment as well. So if you're prone to anxiety, and it's a stressful environment, especially, I think I'm going to pick up on, Carrie, you were saying long lines and you're feeling rushed. And, if you have a disability, no matter what it is, it just simply takes longer to accomplish a task. That's just the bottom line. It takes me longer to either see or hear the ballot so that I can vote properly. It takes someone who is hearing impaired longer, especially if there's no interpreter services and they're needing to communicate through writing. Or gestures. It takes someone longer who is mobility impaired to get in that elevator, to get to the polling place. So it simply takes longer. And if we're feeling pressured to move at a pace that's faster than what we can manage, that's anxiety producing. So anyone with mental health issues or even not having mental health issues, then we feel pressured.
Right.
And it's a time as a voter when you need to make really clear decisions, because your vote has impact. So to have that added stress and anxiety for anyone, in particular people with mental health issues, anxiety, depression, post-traumatic stress, that has just got to be a phenomenally painful experience to be in. And then I always worry that if it feels stressful, if it feels disempowering, if it feels like I'm not being treated well, then do we see people with disabilities not go out to vote? And so that's why the mail-in ballot is so incredibly important as well.
We are talking about voting and the possible barriers to voting with for people with disabilities. We're talking with Denise Jess and Bridget Bowden. We are also taking your calls. Does transportation pose a problem for you? Have you ever experienced bad etiquette at the polls? Because, you know, poll workers just kind of want to move the line along and maybe are uncomfortable dealing with you coming to the polls with a disability. Give us a call, 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org. Denise, you mentioned you mentioned people with disabilities maybe not wanting, maybe saying this is too hard for me, and I just don't want to go vote. Are there certain specific issues? Bridget talked about this a minute ago that you find are common in the disability community that people care about and want to go vote for?
Absolutely. So I think some of the common threads of issues are access to health care, so through Medicare and Medicaid. Those are such important avenues for wellness and safety for many people with disabilities. I think issues around employment and looking at candidates who support employment access for people with disabilities. Our population is significantly underemployed and unemployed, and some of that is related to transportation access, proper training, and frankly, employer bias. If we see it in poll workers and in the general public, we see it in employers as well. Mm. So that's an issue that will drive people to the polls. And so a lot of the really basic fundamental human rights, human access issues are common themes that run through the disability community and drive us to the polls. Other than that, people with disabilities are incredibly diverse. So we cross the political spectrum, we cross the ideological spectrum. So, but those are some of the unifying things that bring us out.
Bridget, when you talk to people with disabilities, you're getting the same kind of answers that Denise has given us, yes?
For sure, yeah. Like I said, our questions are broad. Mm-hmm. So just like anyone else we may talk to, people with disabilities can certainly say that the most important issue to them is immigration or education, things mm-hmm. not related to their disability. But for the most part, people with disabilities who we've spoken to are passionate about these issues that affect their communities, and therefore that's what they want to talk about.
We are taking your calls and emails. Michael emailed us and said, at their respective conventions this summer, both the American Council of the Blind and the National Federation of the Blind passed resolutions asking states to adopt accessible vote-by-mail systems. He then went on to ask what you think this would mean for Wisconsin voters. We are going to ask Denise this question we've got a minute. So, Denise, you want to start answering that question?
Sure. So, I am still learning about the newest vote-by-mail system, so I'm by no means an expert in that area, and I'm excited to see what possibilities they bring. So right now, in Wisconsin, our only vote-by-mail system is to be mailed a ballot from your municipal clerk to complete it in a timely fashion so that it's back to your municipal clerk's office prior to Election Day.
We are talking about people with disabilities and barriers that they have to voting. We are taking your calls, 800-642-1234. And we will be back now. We will be back in a moment. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. We're talking about access to the polls for voters with disabilities with Denise Jess and Bridget Bowden. Denise runs the Wisconsin Council on the Blind and Visually Impaired. and she herself is visually impaired. And Bridget Bowden, of course, runs our Beyond the Ballot series. We'd like to hear from you. What have you found when you have gone to the ballot? Have you felt discouraged to vote based on lack of accessibility? What do you think is overlooked at the polls when it comes to people with disabilities? Also, poll workers, let us know, what's your experience helping voters with disabilities at the polls? Do you get training? I should note that Nancy called. She couldn't stay with us, but she can drive herself to the polls, but she isn't able to use the stairs going into her polling place. Is it possible under state or federal law for a poll worker to bring the voting to her when she's in her car? You want to take that, Denise?
I'd love to. So we do have curbside voting in this state. And when I went to my polling place recently, for the first time I saw, now I could have missed it, a doorbell outside that a driver could ring and have a poll worker come out to them. So we do have that service. And challenges in the implementation. How do we set up that signal to a poll worker that someone is out there and wanting to vote? So I would encourage anyone who would benefit from curbside voting in advance of elections to be in touch with their municipal clerk to find out, how do I access curbside balloting at my polling place? The other thing I would do is be in touch with my clerk to find out what the accessible voting equipment is at the polling place, if you would benefit from that, because Wisconsin does not have a unified, you walk into a polling place, you're not going to find the same exact equipment or services in each one. There's an incredible amount of diversity of what's available to voters.
So this is interesting. We were talking during the break. You told me that there are 800 municipalities, 800 different systems for voting in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, there are. So each, and I'm not exactly positive of the number, but they're each, oh dear, my phone is making an uncomfortable noise.
Her phone is quacking.
Yes, my phone
I
is
love
quacking.
That.
It's
okay.
Telling me that it's time for the cats to get their medication. So I apologize. So
apologize to your cats. Anyway, yeah. Go ahead.
So each municipality has the latitude to purchase the voting equipment that they can afford. So there's some benefits to that. Small municipalities, you know, have less financial resources than larger ones. But then the downside of that is that I might walk into a polling place having lived in Madison and used to their voting equipment and their ways of doing things. And if I move to, you know, rural Wisconsin, I might encounter something that's very different. So that non-universality then leads to being a challenge for, you know, following through on making polling places accessible. It's much harder to regulate.
So there's no statewide uniformity on polling places?
There's uniform expectations. There's not uniformity on how those expectations are carried through.
Okay, so this is something we need to follow up on in terms of larger stories in terms of voting in Wisconsin. We talked about lines and poll workers perhaps being a little shaken, trying to help people move through the lines really quickly on voting day. Let's talk about early voting.
Oh, early voting is awesome because it is another form of creating greater access. If, as I talked about in the beginning of the hour, transportation being such a kingpin in access, if I have more flexibility about when I can get to the polls, I have a greater possibility of being able to vote. So if Mondays work better in my family schedule, or someone can get a ride on a Wednesday, or they can incorporate in voting along with other errands or doctor's appointments, they're more likely to vote. And also, the lines tend to be shorter. Sometimes, unless you're in the city of Madison, we can have long early vote lines. but that then I don't feel as pressured and can accomplish that task with more ease. The downside of early voting is that there's It's much more difficult to regulate the accessibility issues. So in some of our small communities in Wisconsin, early voting may take place in a less accessible or non-accessible location. Some clerks in very tiny municipalities even run early voting out of their homes.
Oh, interesting. And that is possible to do. That is something
Correct.
That you can do. That's So that's an interesting thing. So if I am a voter with a disability and I want to find out where the early voting is taking place, you know, what equipment might be in my municipality, you have mentioned talking to the clerk. You know, I'm just a I'm not an activist necessarily. I don't know how to talk to the clerk. How do I get in touch with these people?
So there's several ways that you can do that. One is to you can visit the website myvote.wi.gov.
Okay.
And that is a great source for pointing you to where you vote, who your municipal clerk is, what to do in the voting process. It is a great starting place, and I would encourage anyone with voting questions to start there and then to move forward from there. There's also excellent resources through the Wisconsin Disability Vote Coalition, and you can go to the coalition's website to get additional resources. And then on the Wisconsin Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired website, we have a five steps to accessible voting document that can also be a tremendous resource. And that document also includes lots of resources for assisting with transportation to get an ID and or to get to the polls.
Okay, so that for those five steps are on your voting document, five steps on your website are what?
So let's see if I can remember them all.
I know.
All
I just
in
put
order.
You on the spot here.
It's the quiz. So registering, of course, is one of the steps. Another is making sure that you have the proper identification, and then making sure that you have transportation to the polls if you need them, or that you've requested your absentee ballot in time to receive it by the by the send out date, and that you send it back in time for it to be recorded, that you complete the poll book process when you come in to vote, and that you cast your ballot.
Very good. That's more than five.
It is more than
five. And it's more than I had on my list here. So thank you so much for that. We're talking about these 800 municipalities, which kind of blows my mind, to be perfectly honest. Is there adequate funding for all these municipalities to help people with disabilities vote?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next question. No, go ahead. Talk to me more about that.
So we are very fortunate to have money come into the state from the Help America Vote Act. And that money not only can be used for creating more accessible voting equipment and for voter poll worker and clerk education. The Wisconsin Elections Commission, I think, does an outstanding job of trying to help clerks around the state learn and create greater access, so that funding can help with that as well. And I believe some of that funding is also being used around voter security. And then some of that funding also supports the Wisconsin Disability Vote Coalition.
So the Wisconsin Disability Vote Coalition, this is something that good that is happening in Wisconsin. It's not all bad, right? There's some good stuff here, right?
No, I tend to have an optimistic view, not Pollyannic. There's a dated reference for you. but very optimistic, because I see and I get to be a part of the incredible efforts from people in the disability community and our allies who really see voting as a fundamental human right, and put a lot of time and energy into educating the public about these issues and helping people with disabilities know the importance of our vote and getting registered and getting to the polls.
So this week is actually National Disability Voter Registration Week. What is happening in Wisconsin to get the word out on
that? So this is a marvelous opportunity this morning to speak to a statewide audience, and I am just doing cartwheels over the opportunity. As soon as I leave here, I am heading to the Madison City County building where we are hosting a press event and speaking about these very issues, including what the city of Madison does to create accessible voting, and hearing from one of our elected officials about her experience as a person with a disability and why disability vote matters, and also hearing from Access to Independence about the disability vote. And I'll kick that conversation off in Milwaukee, and that event begins at 8 o'clock on the steps of the city county building. Simultaneously in Milwaukee at 8:30 this morning at Independence First, which is on South First Street in Milwaukee, the Disability Vote Coalition, along with Disability Rights Wisconsin and the Milwaukee Vote Commission and the League of Women Voters will also be holding a similar event.
Good. So we're going to end here with Bridget Bowden. This, of course, is part of your Beyond the Ballot series.
Yes.
What's next and how can people participate?
So we have some stories coming down the pipeline about specific issues that are relevant in this election. So stay tuned for stories about transportation and Act 10, all things that are coming into play in this fall's election. But we would love if people would reach out to us and tell us what issues they care about and what we should be covering in this project. So they can go to our website, wpr.org/ballot, and there's a form they can fill out there that will answer all the questions we have.
You were just hearing from Bridget Bowden. She, of course, is the project manager for our Beyond the Ballot series, and she's with us every Tuesday talking about this. You also heard a wonderful interview with Denise Jess, who knows everything about voting in this state, it seems.
I wouldn't say that.
And I feel like I want to spend more time with you to see what else you know, because I think you know everything about everything. Denise is the CEO and executive director of the Wisconsin Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired, which is based in Madison. Thank you for being here, Denise. I hope your cats get their medicine.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm Carrie Kaufman. It's The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.